come the drums.
I tried to tell your ass, dude. You cannot take any win for granted. You look past K-State. I wasn't looking past K-State. That game yesterday went about as I would expect it to go. That was exactly what I expected to happen. But unlike in past years, unlike under Charlie Strong, unlike even under Herman last year, the Longhorns won a game they should win. They got the hell out of Kansas. They're eating W's. They're 4-1 heading into the Red River Shootout. I'll take it. I ain't style pointing wins like you. I ain't looking past teams like you. 4-1, I'll take it.
I did look past K-State, man. I just didn't think they were a very good football team. Texas had their foot on their neck coming in to the game. You know, early that was a huge kickoff return by Jameson, you know, kind of set the tone. And Texas just kind of took off from that point, man. I mean, and, you know, going into the second half, man, I think they kind of, you know, took their foot off the brake, so to speak, man, and, you know, kind of let K-State get back in the game. But, you know, you're right. I agree with you. A win is a win, man. We've been, you know, the Longhorns been racking up W. So, you know, hey, man, I'm happy about it. You know, let's move on to Oklahoma next week, man.
I've been killing Brecken Hager on this podcast for a long time. I call him number 44. I wasn't even giving him a name. I still don't think he was good over the course of the game, but he made two huge plays that I'm not sure they win without it. So you got to give him credit for the sack that killed their drive early in the fourth quarter, and you got to give him credit for batting down that pass. Because I'll tell you what, man, we talked about this. We talked about this after the USC game and then after the TCU game again. This defense has some warts, and they've been extremely, extremely lucky that a lot of teams' quarterbacks have been missing throws. Players have been dropping passes. We even saw that yesterday against K-State. Chris Boyd, that was probably the worst game he's played in a long, long time. He was really bad. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I'm not trying to urinate on Cheerios this early in the podcast,
right, right.
But Oklahoma ain't dropping these passes that the teams the last 3 weeks have been dropping. And Kyler Murray, he's not missing the throws that these last three quarterbacks have missed. So if the defense plays like it has played the last 3 weeks, I know you've won four straight, you're going home with a W, and it could get very, very ugly in Dallas.
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt. And to your Chris Boyd point, man, I don't know, man. Just something on that double move, man, that's just been, you know, kind of killing him, man. I don't think Chris Boyd has played, you know, his best football, you know, as of late, man.
Again, I mean, they win the Maryland game if he makes that play. If he makes that interception on before the long touchdown, they might have won that Maryland game. I know Sam threw the interceptions late, but Chris Boyd, he got burned a couple times in Maryland. He dropped an interception. If Chris Boyd plays well against Maryland, we're talking about a 5-0 team heading into the Red River Shootout. Straight up. And this is a guy, and I love Chris Boyd. I like the leader he is. I like the young man. I like the maturation process he's gone through. But straight up, for a guy who was even like flirting with the idea of going to the NFL, which I thought was hilarious, in the offseason, he doesn't look like an NFL corner right now, and there's time to grow. I know it's the hardest position in football. I know a lot of times when they aren't pressuring the passer, the quarterback has a lot more time to throw. He hadn't been good.
Well, I mean, again, he's been getting beat on the double moves out there. You know, to your point, again, he hasn't looked, you know, very well or whatever the case may be. But we know that big games matter. Going into Oklahoma next week, I'm looking, you know, for Chris Boyd to you know, kind of lock whoever he's guarding down or whoever their best receiver is. I'm looking for him to lock him down. I mean, because this game next week, and let's just be honest, I know we've kind of skipped over the K-State game and some more
it's
points
done.
That I
it's
wanna
done, bro. I mean, we can get into it, but damn, you want to get the hell out of Manhattan quick.
But goddamn, man, there's some other points that we need to hit, man, for the damn show so we can get, you know, into Oklahoma, man. But because, again, to the point that we talked about last week and in previous podcasts as well, Texas have been playing down to their competition, man. It's like they'll get a lead, and then they'll take their foot off the gas for whatever reason. Now, Tom Herman yesterday – you know, without Tim Beck being there, was, you know, definitely the play caller, man. And to be honest with you, I wasn't super impressed with the offensive play calling yesterday.
I liked it. I thought it was good, especially in the first three quarters. I thought the play calling was good. The one thing that needs to happen for this team, and
Well, I was speaking particularly in the second half.
Yeah, in the second half, I don't know what happened, but let me tell you this. It's one thing for Daniel Young to surprise you and run hard in the middle of the game or something like that, but when it's third and short, or it's second and short, or it's fourth and short like we saw against TCU, Daniel Young doesn't need to be in the game. And if he is, he sure as hell doesn't need to be cutting to the outside. There was a time yesterday where he could have just broken arm tackle and picked up the first down. He decided to bounce outside. That kid does not need to be bouncing outside.
Now,
as a matter of fact, Ingram needs to be the horse, quite honestly.
Well, Ingram does need to be the horse, man. I thought that we saw Ingram. He ran well yesterday.
He only had 10 carries, though. I mean, he caught some passes, too, but 10 carries for 68. He was very good. He had a long of 16. He also caught 5 passes. He needs more than 10 carries.
Well, absolutely. Like I said before, man, he should be the workhorse running back. To your point again, we talked about that last week as well. Daniel Young, you know, he's a north and south runner, man. He doesn't need to run east and west. I mean, he's the bull. He's the should be the kind of short yardage back. You know what I'm saying? If it's, second and 4 or second and 3 or something like that, I feel like, you know, he can get it done. But Ingram is clearly – and I think that people are starting to see him get to that point. Now –
he's the guy. He's the guy.
You know, it's hard. Deontay was the first one to do it back in 2016 in years. I don't know how many years they had or prior to that nobody had rushed for 100 yards. And honestly, I thought that Ingram could possibly get there yesterday with more carries. So I agree with you, man. This kid, he has to touch the ball more.
Yeah, he's got to touch the ball. He's got to be the focal point of your offense. Staying on the offensive side of the ball, we had Clarence Hill on last week, and this is what Clarence had to say when he was talking about Texas after the TCU win and something that he saw that maybe needed to change involving the most important position on the team.
I still think that the quarterback position needs to be upgraded. You know, his accuracy and pocket presence and the decision makes in the pocket are awful. He's not a good runner. He doesn't run well. And it's so damn slow that most teams are going to be able to, you know, that speed option doesn't work. And again, he takes a lot of hits, man. They throw nothing in the middle of the field. Now, I'm not talking about deep. I'm just talking about up the seam and stuff like that. So they don't even use the whole field in the passing game yet.
Clarence says there still needs to be an upgrade at quarterback. Now, Sam Ehlinger has done a better job protecting the ball ever since the 2 interceptions in the after the weather delay in Maryland. He hasn't turned the ball over. But there were a couple plays yesterday where he missed some guys flat out. The first drive of the game, he misses Duvernay on the post. That should have been a touchdown. That should have been 6. His accuracy, while you'll look at the box score and you'll say he was 29-36. The throws that he missed were huge. I like what Ehlinger is doing. It seems like he has control of the huddle. That throw to Colin Johnson on the final drive that milked the clock was big time. But he's going to have to start hitting these big plays. And Tom Herman actually alluded to it yesterday after the game. I was listening to the radio call, and Tom Herman straight up said that they need to hit their big plays on offense. And I think when he says that, that's not an intense call out, but I think that's a call out to Sam Ehlinger, who just has to hit that. You just have to put a little bit more air on that to Duvernay. The guy's in the house.
It's definitely a knock on Sam, man. He has to hit those plays in those moments of the game. Like you said, he had Duvernay, I'm talking about, butt naked open, man.
And he had Colin once in the 10, too.
Absolutely. It was one on the sideline that he just let sail, you know, out of bounds that I thought, you know, Colin would have made, you know, had the ball, been in play. But, yeah, Sam, he has to do better, man. He has to but now, in his defense – although he's missed some throws or whatever, I thought that his decision making has been better.
It's been great,
you know. Compared to last year, I think that
compared to after the weather delay against Maryland, which
absolutely,
those just kind of got away from him.
Right.
But I think he's at least protecting the ball. He's not beating you. Sam Ehlinger is not. He's not beating you. Like you're not losing games because of Sam Ehlinger, but when you face teams like Oklahoma, when you face the Oklahoma States, when you face the maybe even Texas Tech or something where you're going to have to go there, West Virginia, you're going to have to hit those throws that he's missing
now. He's going to have to hit those throws next week against Oklahoma, man. You know, this is, I mean, bro, we can't afford to live. Our offense is not that potent. Although we have great players, you know, we have, you know, sufficient players that can go out there and make plays. Man, do you see what Oklahoma is doing, man? I mean, these Sooners, man, are kicking everybody's ass, man. And I'm talking about the not even close, man.
Except against Army when they had to go to overtime.
Yeah, but that's kind of it was kind of one of the games that I think Oklahoma was kind of looking past as well. I don't think that they were extremely sharp. But, I mean, again, they still won that game. They're coming in to next week, next Saturday, 5-0. You know, we're 4-1. Coming in. So, I mean, this game can swing either way. But to our point, you know, Sam can't make the mistakes that he's, or leave plays out on the field like he's been doing, the last couple of weeks, man.
And this is the thing. By the way, this is Vince Young. Vince Young joined the show. We have guests every week. This week, we're just doing a little best of, a little bit of shuffle. But next week, we'll have someone on that you'll be very, very familiar with. But this was Vince Young when he joined the 41 Acres, talking about Sam Ehlinger. And after we hear from Vince, I'm going to tell you why I think Sam has a big game against Oklahoma.
I think Sam is a pretty good guy, man. I think he has the ick factor. I mean, you got to have that when you're playing quarterback, especially if you're trying to get guys to play for you. But overall, he's doing pretty good so far. He got some more work to do, with his passing game. But, you know, the things that he's doing at his age, I really feel like it can, take off from there. I see the hard work that he's putting in.
That is what everybody talks about with Sam, and that's what Vince likes. He likes his leadership. He likes his moxie. I think Sam Ehlinger has a big game against Oklahoma because his best game last season was against Oklahoma. 278 yards passing. He had a touchdown. He also rushed for 110 yards and a touchdown in that game. When you grow up a Longhorn fan like Sam Ehlinger has, you understand the magnitude of Texas OU. There's just something different about it when you grow up on it. Like, I know a lot of guys go to Texas and they get this beat the hell out of OU and they understand the Red River Shootout, but it's not as close to their heart as Sam Ehlinger is. Sam Ehlinger grew up on this Texas OU rivalry. He understands the magnitude, and I think that I expect another big game from Sam in the Red River rivalry. I really, really do. I think all the extra intangibles and everything, I think this is where we see it against Oklahoma. Now, does that mean they're going to beat Oklahoma? I think Oklahoma's a way better team. I think Oklahoma's way more talented. I think Oklahoma's by far the most talented team that they've faced this year. But I think that Sam Ehlinger will be ready to go in this game.
I think what Sam's what's going to help Texas, period, in this game, they're going to have to be able to run the ball on Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma, again, is the better team. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Oklahoma definitely is the better team. But I think that Sam decision-making is – like we alluded to just a few minutes ago, is going to have to be a lot better. Texas is not going to be able to leave throws out there on the field. They're going to have to be able to create turnovers. We're going to have to control the clock. And the way that we do that is running the football. They're going to have to run the football effectively against Oklahoma, man.
You don't want to get in a shootout with the number eight scoring offense in the country. They're putting up 48 a game. So Texas can't do that. Texas can't go toe-to-toe with Oklahoma back and forth.
Well, the thing about it is that Texas, we know what this game is. And like you said, you know, Sam has, he's been around this game. He understands the magnitude of this game. He had a very good game against Oklahoma last year.
If he doesn't get hurt, I think they win.
This game is going to be closer than what people think. I think that although I believe that Oklahoma will beat them, you know, and I'm just going on record and saying it right
now.
I do too.
I mean, they're the better squad.
But I think that this game is going to go. I think it's going to be close in the fourth quarter. I think that this is a game that, regardless to who's on the schedule, regardless to who Texas have played, the USC's or whatever, this is the game every year that Texas look forward to. This is the game that they know for bragging rights that carry on to the following year. This is the game that they know that they have to come out and they have to perform, especially when they're coming in again 4-1 and you have an Oklahoma team that's undefeated. I think Texas is going to – these guys are going to be amped up. They're going to be hyped to go in there and try their best to kick Oklahoma's ass, you know, at the Cotton Bowl, and, you know, take that record down to where they both have the same record, man.
And this is the thing. If you win this game, you're in the driver's seat to get to the Big 12 championship game.
Oh, no doubt.
You're in the driver's seat to get to the Big 12 championship game if you win this game. That would mean that you would have it's like six conference games remaining, and you would be in the driver's seat. This is the thing that I think Texas has going for it. Two things. First of all, Tom Herman against the spread in his career as an underdog, he's 11-1. So he's going to have you amped up for the big games. The games like Kansas State are what scare me a little bit, but he showed he can get out of there on that. But 11-1 against the spread as an underdog, that's what Tom Herman has. Also, this Texas team, amidst these three wins, they've shown us that when they need to milk clock and they need to move the ball in clutch situations, they can do it. You saw it against TCU when they were up 8 with 8:41 remaining. They had a chance to ice the game. They had a chance to milk the clock. They had a 5-minute, 58-second drive, 10 plays, 76 yards for a touchdown. That's church. That's the end. Yesterday against Kansas State, they had a 10-play, 36-yard drive that took the final 4 minutes of the game off the clock when you were up 5. If you can do that during the game, not just at the end, to where you keep Oklahoma's explosive offense off the field, I think you're going to have a chance, but you're going to have to do it with the right running back, and we already know who that guy is.
Right. Well, and that's my point. You're making my point. Texas is going to have to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage, you know, in this game Saturday. They're going to have to be able to run the football. Sam is going to have to be able to run the football as well. I'm not saying he should be your leading rusher, you know, like he was last
he's
year.
He's got to be a threat, bro.
But he has to be
a threat.
He has to be a threat out there, man, because, you know, although we've seen Texas do it, you know, in previous weeks, hey, man, they haven't played a juggernaut like Oklahoma, man.
No.
I mean, these guys are a juggernaut.
They
have to come out, and they're going to have to establish dominance from the very, you know, from the kickoff, man. They're going to have to go out there, and they're going to have the mind frame going in there. Hey, we fixed to go up here. We fixed to go to Dallas, and we're going to put our foot in their asses. And that's the mentality that they have to have. Anything less than that, bro, you know, Texas is going to get dominated, bro.
And I think they will. I think they will have that mentality because Herman always has them up for the big ones. I mean, he always has them up for the big ones. It doesn't get bigger than this. And plus, as much as people don't like the way they looked against Kansas State yesterday, I'm not – I mean, obviously, that's not going to be people's highlight tapes or anything. There's such thing as coachable wins. And a lot of times when you struggle and you look ugly winning, a lot of time you get your team's attention heading into a big game.
Right.
And that yesterday was a coachable win by the Texas Longhorns. 4-1 right now. I'm going to ask you right now, you want to change your prediction a little bit? Because what did you have them at? You had them at 6 wins? You had them at 7 wins for the whole season? You want to change that?
I had them at 8. I had them at 8 wins.
With the bowl game. Do you want to change that or you want to keep it? It's up to you.
right now.
It's a fluid situation. I'm giving you a chance.
Hey, I'll say right now, Lockman, I'm going to say that, you know, my prediction is probably, you know, headed towards the toilet, but it's for a good reason. So I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset. Again, like I said before in our very first podcast, even, you know, before we even start recording the podcast, dude, I want Texas to be successful. I want them to be back to that championship caliber team that I know that they can get to. You know, early in the season had a few blunders out there that you know, could have been better yesterday. You know, I mean, they can't play up and down to their that's what I want Texas to stop doing. I mean, if we have a chance to blow these teams the out, then that's what we need to do, bro. We need to blow their asses out. We don't need to sit up there and play around with them and let them hang in the game. Let's be honest with you. Yesterday, if K-State, if they go for it on fourth down and the ball hits was the tight end like dead in the hands, man. If they score right there, bro, we lose yesterday.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Game.
So they have to Texas has to go in there, bro. And they have to, for the rest of the season, I want them guys to go in there.
I just want W's. I just want W's. I get what you're about to say.
I know
I just
want
W's.
Style points don't count,
they
man,
don't
but
count.
That's bullshit.
count. It they does. Don't count in
style,
college football
style points
anymore.
It does count, man, because teams that
it's a
that
dated concept.
Teams
style
that Texas is supposed
concept.
To dominate, Landry, they need to go out there and they need to dominate these guys, man.
It
what
doesn't matter
you sitting
matter
around
anymore.
And you letting them hang around in the game
it doesn't
for?
Matter anymore.
They would have lost yesterday,
but
bro.
They won.
They would have lost.
All that matters.
I understand,
they won.
But that's all that matters. So you tell me that, and I understand K-State is always tough to play in Manhattan, and they did win the game.
The days
but,
of caring but, about the AP poll don't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. These style points don't matter. You win your games. If Oklahoma could win all their games by one, they're going to be in the playoff. Like, style points, yeah, when only two teams got in, it meant something. Clemson had an ugly win yesterday.
Yeah.
They're not apologizing for it. Texas A&M had an ugly win yesterday. They're not apologizing for it. It doesn't matter. Style points are a dated concept. And that's why we have all these corny-ass people sitting here giving moral victories when Texas A&M hangs with Clemson within 2 points, and it's being shown that Clemson maybe wasn't as good as everybody thought. And Jimbo Fisher coached against the guy for a decade and all this. And TCU, they hang with Ohio State without their coach. We do this. Style points are a dated concept. It's all about W's. Teams that are supposed to win in college football, they lose every damn week. They lose. They straight up lose. Teams that are not supposed to lose, they lose. It happens every Saturday. And in the past, when we were looking at AP polls, and we were like, oh my God, they didn't look good. They dropped 4 spots, and only 2 teams got in. It mattered. It doesn't matter anymore. Get with the times, Day-Day. I'm trying to bring you here.
It matters.
I'm trying to bring
it,
you
it,
here.
It matters because this is the University of Texas, bro.
It doesn't
that's
matter.
Why it, that's
and
why,
they're not what
why
they used
matters.
To be.
We have to go out there and we have to dominate these teams, man.
Oklahoma
we can't,
went
we can't,
to overtime
we can't
with
sit
Army.
We can't sit around and let these teams hang in the balance,
if
man.
If you get the W, you can't. Oklahoma went overtime with Army. They went overtime with Army.
We got lucky yesterday again on that 4th down play yesterday. If this numbnut catches the ball, we're in a bad spot at Texas. We let
what's
them
the
come
if,
back.
What's the if line you always use about uncles and stuff?
Well,
yeah,
I know what I say.
Give it to the people. Don't use
my
it only
thing
when
about the word if my aunt had nuts, she'd be my uncle.
There you go.
So, you know, I understand that. And yes, Texas did win. But what I'm saying, Landry, is that to me, style points do matter. You know, just for the confidence of the team, you want to go. You don't want to leave a team
this team's
that you're supposed to be dominant. You don't want to leave them just hanging around, man.
They
you got to go up there.
Games.
You got to blow
they
them out, man.
They had one in Kansas
you
State.
You got to beat them, man.
They had one in Kansas State
okay,
a long
I,
ass
I,
time.
I tell you what. I tell you what.
They were showing
them,
Marcus Tubbs
them,
highlights
let,
the last time they
let
won
them,
in K-State.
Let them do that next week. Again. Let them do that Saturday against Oklahoma. Oklahoma going to beat their ass by 4 or 5 touchdowns if they sit around here and let them just, you know, if they pussyfoot with these guys, man. Texas need to go out there and
they
got to
play
me,
better, but they got the dub. They got the dub.
Okay, at your point, they got the dub. I'm
they
just saying
the
for
there's
me,
no style points
for,
anymore.
For me, I want the University of Texas to be dominant, to go out there and kick the asses of the teams that they need to kick their asses.
Well, everybody wants
period.
Their ass kicked. Alabama and Georgia are the only teams kicking ass right now. Everybody else is just struggling to get W's, whether even against inferior competition. That's just how it is. I'm not apologizing for W's at Texas. I'm on to Oklahoma. But I did want to bring up something. First of all, we got to give Charles Aminihu a big thumbs up.
Yes,
best game
yes,
of your career.
Charles, yeah, we finally seen Charles. And we had a Brick and Hager sighting. I'm not saying he had a dominant game, but hell, at least we
props
called his
him.
Name, bro.
Props to him. You got to give props to the – I guess it's the best performance by the D-line. I'm not sure what exactly that means, but best performance by the D-line. Gary Johnson still playing very well as,
oh,
as
yes,
well.
Yes.
Gary Johnson has been
this,
a beast
yeah,
since
this,
USC.
This dude here, man. Hey, we had a little scare yesterday. Day, man, when Caden Stearns went down, man. Yeah, he did. He didn't have a very good game
but,
yesterday.
Which that's going to happen. He's
but,
a freshman.
Yeah. I mean, but this kid is a stud, man. Everyone knows that you know, this kid can go out there and he's going to perform. He's going to make plays. So he'll have those games. He's a true freshman. He'll bounce back. Again, Gary Johnson, man, he's been coming down. He's been filling holes, you know, making tackles, man, big plays. Brandon Jones is still coming down,
playing
man. He's playing good, man, and making plays. Like I said, man, it's these young guys. Man,
shout
that,
out
that
to
are,
Jamison too. Jamison,
oh,
nice
Jamison,
punt return.
Yo, punt return,
punt return
no,
touchdown,
no doubt,
but
man.
he did make a dumb mistake where he ran backwards 14 yards on the reverse too, and that kind of put him in a bad situation in the end zone. So
yep.
You saw the but, good and bad of a freshman which happens.
Yeah, true.
And Colin
Colin.
I want to give Colin this because he only had 4 catches yesterday. He made a big catch in the end zone, and for the second straight week, Colin got stopped short of the chains, this time about 7-8 yards, and he fought and got that first down.
Yes.
This young man is starting to show progress, and he's doing the little things that they want him to do. Now, he does have a tendency to disappear. I don't know if it's his fault. A lot of times it doesn't seem like he's getting off the line.
But he's doing his thing. I was going to bring that up, man, because we're seeing Colin Johnson, you know, emerge, man, and you know, I don't know if he listens to the show or not, or people, you know, tell him or whatever.
Who doesn't?
Absolutely. 41 Acres Podcast, man. Y'all know we in the building. But, I mean,
he's
heard us call him out, I'm sure, man. Brick, you know, heard us call him out. Everyone that we've called out, bro, yesterday, they stepped up. I mean, Colin has done it previously, but my point is, I think that they're not getting Colin Johnson. He's disappearing too long. For long stretches at times, man,
there was a safety over the top yesterday, I noticed they put a little safety over there yesterday.
Yeah, but you have to find ways, again, to get this guy the ball.
That's right. And Lil J, too.
Lil Jordan Humphrey, he was kind of a
– He got hobbled up, though. Lil J got a little bit hobbled.
Yeah, but he was a mystery. I mean, when you have both of those guys on the field at the same time, man, Texas is dangerous, man. And you got Ingram back there running the ball. You have the threat of him, the threat of Sam, you know, being a big guy and can get yards, man. Man, I feel like for whatever reason, man, the offense don't seem to be clicking on all cylinders,
it ain't.
You know, and they're going to have to next week, man. I know, you know,
you're only scoring 28 points a game, which is 73rd in the country.
Right.
28 points a game, which that's not good enough. You need to get in the 35 range, especially if your defense, if you want your defense to be the identity. That's not going to get it done. That's just not going to get it done. 28. Oklahoma, by comparison, they're scoring 48. So the firepower of these two teams isn't debatable. I will say this, though, because Kyler Murray, everybody's familiar with him. He was late to a meeting, I guess, last week, and then had 7 touchdowns after his little punishment.
Lincoln
doesn't do that against Texas, though. That's the thing. You do that against Baylor. You don't do that against Texas.
Oh, yeah, but I still respect
him.
He also suspended
Baker Mayfield, against who knows who last year. Was it OSU? I'm not sure.
I respect that about Lincoln Riley, man. You know, and woe is to me to ever give Oklahoma, you know, props like that, because, I mean,
they,
you know,
deserve
they still
it. They're
suck.
Good,
but,
bro.
But, you know, they're good, man. And I respect Lincoln Riley because his attitude is, hey, man, I don't give a damn about you being the number 9 pick, a top 10 pick in the Major League Battle. We're here. We're Oklahoma. We're trying to win football games. And if you step in this locker room, then you need to be held accountable just like everyone else in here. I don't give a damn what your status is. So, shout out to Lincoln Riley, man. I like coaches like that,
man,
that don't show favoritism, man. And, you know, hey, for you to bench your main guy, and of course, yeah, again, it was against Baylor, so you can do that. But it sets a precedent in that locker room, man, and I respect him for that.
Yeah, I respect him for that, too. The thing about Kyler Murray that I think Texas can take advantage of is he's small. If you just squeeze that pocket in, you can make him have to look over you. He's very small.
But elusive.
But this is the thing. That's where guys like Hager and Charles cannot lose contain.
Exactly, and that's a lot of problems.
You can't lose contain on this. I'll say this, though, in fairness, because we're giving OU a lot of love. We don't sugarcoat it. We're not going to sit here and try to homer up. We're going to get into this Jimbo Fisher thing as well in a second. A lot of weird opinions on that. But if you at least contain Kyler Murray and keep him inside there where he has to look over, I think that's in the best interest. I think Todd Orlando can come up with that game plan. But for all the talk about Texas hasn't faced an offense like this, let's be real and let's be fair. Oklahoma hasn't faced talent on defense like this either. I mean, you faced UCLA. It's been a dumpster fire with Chip Kelly. You faced Army. You faced Baylor. And you haven't faced, on their schedule, they haven't faced a defense like this. So it's going to be an upgrade in talent for both teams. Texas is the best team Oklahoma's played this year, and Oklahoma will be the best team that Texas faces all season long.
And that's why this game is so important. And again, you know, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, man, it wouldn't surprise me if Texas won this game. We know that Oklahoma is the better team, but it wouldn't surprise me, Locke, if Texas went in there and won this game. We were a 1-4 team. Texas was a 1-4 team when that 2015 went in there with Charlie Strong, man. And in the game –
The Deontay rundown game?
Wow, there you go again, man. But even the 2014 game was a close game. We had Tyrone Swoops. The very next year, they come in there, and they beat Oklahoma, man. So,
With Gerard Hurd, right.
So, like I said, Deontay, you know, 9 carries for 117 yards. But we'll talk about that later.
Should have been 127.
Screw you, man. but Texas can very well come in there and win this game. I'm not picking Texas in this game, just like you're not picking Texas in this game, and maybe rightfully so. But hey, man, if Texas go in there and they utilize their weapons like we know that they can, again, to your point, this is going to be the best team that Oklahoma has played thus far this year. This will be the best team that Texas has played thus far this year. A team coming in there 5-0, undefeated. That right there should give Texas even more incentive to go in there and just beat the out these people, man. Because, you know, hey, it's Oklahoma. It's a rivalry game. They're undefeated. You know, Texas want to be able to grab, what is that, the Golden Hat? You know, they want to be able to take that back with them, you know, while tarnishing Oklahoma's season or their undefeated record or whatever.
So, I mean,
this right here, man, is the driver's seat for the Big 12 championship, man. Probably against West Virginia, man, because West Virginia is kicking ass right now, bro.
They look good. Texas Tech's quarterback got hurt, and then West Virginia came in there. West Virginia looks pretty good. They look like a good squad, but I'm not even going to talk about them.
Hold on. Well, let me ask you this. Still not sold on Will Grier?
He's all right. He's a good system guy. I like him. I mean, he's a nice little Big 12 quarterback. I mean, I'm not sold on him as an NFL prospect. I think that – I'm not sold on that, but he's a good system guy.
Well, the NFL game, you know, is – going, I mean, I know
yeah, I
we're kind of getting
off
the
is.
Point,
but he ain't that quick.
But the NFL game, man, is going to these spread guys.
He
I mean, you look at Texas Tech, you know, back in the day, man, when they had their quarterbacks and they throwing for all these yards or whatever, and it didn't translate over to the NFL. But now, man, like this spread concept, man, is what the NFL is looking for. It's more spread concept oriented right now, and so I'm not saying he'll be, first round draft pick or whatever the case may be, but I believe that you know what he's doing can translate to the NFL with the offense that the NFL the way that the NFL is going right now, man, with the spread concepts.
Yeah, we'll see. But before we get more into this Oklahoma game, which it means a lot to me, I'm gonna just tell you just how much this game means to me. I'm gonna put a bow on this K-State game, and I'm just gonna tell you this. I made a commitment yesterday to listen to the radio broadcast during the game because Tim Brando and Spencer Tillman are the worst. That is the worst.
Yes.
That is the worst duo I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yes.
They're unprofessional. They're factually wrong. They try to throw in hot takes that are out of place throughout the course of the game. They're not watching the game. There was one point where my radio app crapped out, the Longhorn Stream.
Yeah.
And it became harder and harder to sync because it was going in and out. As soon as I turned it on, Sam Ellinger threw a pass and he caught it because it got batted down. Brando said, well, Texas with the designed run. Obviously, it wasn't designed run because he threw the ball and he caught it. Then there was this gem right here that I'm going to play for you. At the end of the fourth quarter, Texas on top 19-0. Kansas State has it fourth and goal from the 2-yard line. And they're letting the clock wind down so that they can call a timeout and run a final play. And Spencer Tillman says this.
You have a chance to take a couple shots, man.
He's criticizing Kansas State for not taking a couple shots at the end zone and letting the clock go down. It's fourth down, Spencer. It's fourth freaking down.
Yeah.
I don't like sitting here. I know how hard it is to call a game, but these guys do zero homework. They do zero research. They have rabbit ears because Brando tried to justify what Tillman said at the end, so he's obviously on the internet. I've heard nothing but bad things about this Brando character, and quite frankly, his work sucks. My dad watched the game in mute yesterday. My dad didn't even have his radio synced up. My dad literally had my nephew running around the house. He had my mom running around, or my stepmom running around with the nephew. He watched the game on mute. Texas has to get better, not because I want them to start winning 10 games and competing for national championships, but because I cannot tolerate watching Tim Brando and Spencer Tillman call any more Longhorn games. Get off FS1. Let's get back on ABC where we belong.
Man, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Or Fox Normal.
Know, hey, because, hey.
Damn, dude. That was terrible, bro.
I haven't been a Spencer Tillman fan ever since 2016 when Deontay had that monster game against Texas Tech, man, rushed for 300 and something yards or whatever, and he called Deontay, man, a poor man's Derrick Henry, bro. He called him a poor man's Derrick Henry, bro. And I don't know. That just didn't resonate with me, man.
Speaking of your sons, there was one game against Notre Dame where Mark Davis was calling the game. I think you might have actually been at the game.
Yeah,
this
was there.
A long time
I was
ago.
There.
In the fourth quarter of the game, Mark Davis of ESPN, they threw a ball to Armani, and Armani caught the ball in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Davis straight up said,
no relation.
Armani Foreman with the catch.
That was
no
against Kansas. That was against Cal.
Okay.
2016
okay.
against
yes,
Cal.
It was against Cal.
Yeah.
He caught it. And he said, Armani Foreman with the catch.
No relation
to Deontay. They both started.
Like, you don't even know the roster, bro.
They started. It's not like one came off the bench. They started. They are twins.
Oh, man. Hey, they're a horrible commentating team, man.
I feel sorry for anyone who really cares about their team and has to watch those guys call games. Earlier this year in the preseason, Spencer Tillman, you remember when, you know, Cowboys center Travis Frederick,
right.
How he got that illness?
He
got that illness that might end his season.
Mm-hmm.
This was 2 weeks before the final preseason game of the season for the Houston Texans. Spencer Tillman, he does the color for those games. Okay? One of the Cowboys centers misses a block. And I don't remember if it was a sack. It's on my Twitter. Spencer Tillman says in the middle of this broadcast, he says, Travis Frederick's got to do a better job there. He didn't even try to get an arm on him.
Oh, wow.
First of all, the dude's been sick for 2 weeks.
You're right.
Second of all, why would he be playing in the final preseason game? It was absolutely
ridiculous.
This dude
is a numb man. And did you see?
Dancing?
You watched the game? Did you see the
bro,
dancing, man?
I don't want to get too much in that.
Bro, it's so much I can say right now, bro, that I'm not going to go down.
But I'm just saying, bro,
it wasn't a good look.
No.
Hey, Spencer, it was not a good look, Spencer. I'm telling you, bro.
And he was kicking?
Yes.
Man, that was bad.
Bro. And he made some kind of comment like, tell
the Rockettes
to watch out. So
who in the f does that, bro? Dude, I don't know what was going on.
I don't understand, dog. I don't understand. But anyway, man, off of those numb nuts, man, let's get back
into
it.
So we're putting a bow on K-State.
K-State, Texas got the dub again. You know, they let K-State get back in the game, man. I wasn't happy about that. But to your point, you know, hey, I feel like if you have them bleeding, man, you should go ahead and kill them.
You should.
You know, so to speak.
They'll learn.
Texas, you know, give them on life support. Because
it's
going to be a time, man, where you know, Texas is going to have a team, and it almost happened against Tulsa, and it almost happened again yesterday against teams where they're going to, you know, pretty much have them bleeding, and then they're going to let them get on life support, man. And one of these times, you know, the team that's on life support are going to come back, and Texas will.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's the Oklahoma
State.
That's the Texas Tech.
Right.
That's the West Virginias.
Absolutely.
That's the Oklahomas.
Yes.
The teams that you're playing now, you can't do that. But hopefully, that's why it goes back to teachable win.
But going to the Oklahoma game.
Oklahoma game. I've been to probably about 25 Red River shootouts. It's absolutely my favorite game. My dad, in the 2000s, when Bob Stoops was just putting ass whoopings on Texas, ass whooping after ass whooping after ass whooping, my dad would never let me leave the game early. I had to stay after, and I had to see Texas fight.
You had to stay after Texas fight.
I had to stay.
So let me ask you this. Were you there in? Was it 2012 when Oklahoma just beat? Armani Deontay was on a recruiting they gave us some tickets. This is when Armani had actually committed to Oklahoma at the time. And we get to the game, bro, and it's like the second quarter. And when I tell you, bro, the game like should have been over at that time. Like, I thought Mac Brown was going to actually wave the white flag. I can't remember what year. I want to say it was 20. It might have been 2012, man, because 2013, Texas actually beat OU. So it had to be 2012, the year before. And, I mean, they just locked. Oklahoma, man, you talking about getting your asses kicked, bro, like got their asses kicked. Like, I don't even understand why Texas still played the game, bro. It was that bad, bro.
Well, it was worse. There's been some epic ass
I think it
kickings.
Was 2012.
Yeah, 2012 is when they lost, when Texas lost 63-21. Yeah, that was a bad.
Yeah, bro. I was there, bro. We were there, and I'm like, whoa.
And that was when
bro.
Texas was an overrated number 15. I don't know how they got there. They were a little bit overrated, but they got their ass kicked. But the display of ass kickings from started in 2000, and this was when Texas just couldn't get over the hump. You had the 63-14 butt kicking where Chris Sims was in there, and that was when Oklahoma burst onto the scene. Then you had the 14-3, you had 35-24, you had 65-13 in 2003. 2004, you had 12-0. That was when Vince was a sophomore, I believe. And then finally in 2005, 45-12, Brian Robinson slams Rhett Bomar down to the turf, and then you have Rod Wright running into the end zone. It's been an epic experience for me, but quite frankly, Oklahoma, they've pretty much owned this series. I mean, Texas has won six times since 2000. Oklahoma, for the most part, they've owned this thing, but it's always a fun experience out there, especially at the fair. It's 11 a.m., so people start drinking early, and when you see the 50-50 of the red and the orange, it's a good time. But I'm not going to lie, man. For a long time there, from 2000 to 2004, walking in that stadium, it just made me cringe.
If you haven't experienced going to this rivalry, Oklahoma and Texas, especially when both of those guys, those teams are doing well, man, You have to get there, man. It's one of the best rivalries in college football. You know, I don't know sometimes why they don't make it a primetime game, later that night for some reason.
Probably just
because
of the fair, man.
Yeah,
but the
fair is out there, man. Man, the funnel cakes, man, and the fried ice cream,
Texas
and
nachos,
just
beer.
If
you're getting beer, you got to go to the food court tent. In the back corner, to the left of the bathroom, the far left bathroom by the stadium. Like, if you're looking at the stadium, the far left bathroom, go all the way to the back left. That's where the cheapest beer is too. So,
man,
you know that.
Oh, well, I'm glad you let our listeners know, man, where the cheapest beer at. Hey Landry, hey. Gonna get you drunk, man. So make sure, you know what I'm saying? Hey, my boy Landry Locker, man, he's gonna get you drunk. He's gonna let you know where the
cheapest
best stuff
beer.
Is around
Food
there, man.
By
you know?
The stadium, if you're looking at the stadium on the far left, they got kegs, they keep it going.
But this rivalry, man, like I said, man, this game is special, man. It's been special for years. Again, especially when both teams are doing well. Oklahoma's undefeated, Texas 4-1. This game is going to be special. And again, you know, it would not surprise me if Texas went out there and Texas won this game, man. I'm not saying that I give Texas absolutely no shot. I just don't believe that they
what
have
needs
enough
to happen
to,
for Texas to win, because we both agree these are the keys to it. Number one, you have to do what you did at the end of the K-State TCU game. You have to run the ball, and you have to hold on to the ball and keep Oklahoma off the field. That's number one. You have to do that, and we both agree with who the guy is
to
run the ball with. What's his name?
Ball.
Say his
Ingram.
Name one more time for the people.
Keyonte Ingram,
Big
man. 2-6. Keyonte Ingram needs to. How many touches do you feel like Keyonte needs in this game? We know that they're going to rotate between two
him
and three
Watson.
Backs.
Him and Watson need to both have a nice little mix. They just need to have a feel for it. That needs to happen. Another thing that needs to happen for Texas to win this game, Sam has to be more involved in the run game. And I know Clarence came on yesterday and said he didn't think that or last week and said he doesn't think that Sam is a very good runner. Let me tell you this. When that zone reads there, Sam Ehlinger, if you can get 10 yards, if you can get 11, that right now it doesn't look like they're running as much zone read. You need to run the zone read against Oklahoma because you need all hands on deck with the run game. That's number two. Number three, The intermediate passing game, you need to find the middle of the field. They're not throwing in the middle of the field as much as they need to. I don't know if it's because Sam's scared of turning the ball over, but Lil Jordan Humphrey, maybe even Anthony Beck, maybe getting Ingram involved in the pass game. You need to throw in the middle of the field to move the chains. That's number three. And number four, Colin Johnson, when you get the opportunity to make plays, you got to make plays. You got to keep doing the same things you're doing, moving the chains. But when they give you a chance to go up there and make plays, this is where you make plays. This is where you make your name. Texas, Oklahoma is where you make your name. You've been a Longhorn for 3 years right now. Everybody sees the potential. Looks like you're putting it together. These are the games that people are going to remember. You could have 10 touchdowns leading up to this point. If you wet the bed against Oklahoma, that's what everybody's going to remember. Chris Sims, damn good quarterback for Texas. He was actually very good in non-Oklahoma games. But everybody remembers Chris Sims
against
Oklahoma wetting the bed against Oklahoma. Right, this is where Colin Johnson makes his moves.
Well, see, my thing is, and another thing, we have to be able to get a pass rush on defense.
We'll go to defense. Defense. Okay. You give me the defensive keys for the game. That's okay. Offensive. Offensive right there. That's what Texas needs to do.
Defensively, again, we have to contain. We have to get pressure on Kyler Murray. Texas is going to have to be able to get pressure on Kyler Murray.
And the C word. Contain.
Absolutely.
He's a little guy. Keep him in
but,
there.
But elusive. But you're gonna have to contain.
Little. He's tiny,
and,
man.
And they're not gonna be able to miss tackles. I seen a few missed tackles yesterday against K-State that we should have had. So they're not gonna be able to just miss tackles like that, man. Everybody's gonna have to go to the ball on defense. I'll tell you someone who's gonna have to have a big game, man. Probably at that nickel spot, man. PJ Locke, man.
He's been bad.
PJ Locke is going to have – he's going to have a decent game because they will exploit you up the seam, man. I've seen several throws that Kyler has done.
Yeah, up the seam.
Yeah, so he's another one that needs to be called out, man, because PJ Locke, bro, right now – you trash, bro. I mean, I just got to say it like that, bro. You know, hey, one thing about us, man,
good.
41 Acres Podcast, man, again, we're going to keep it mother real on here, and that's what it is, man. So, hey, PJ Locke, bro, you got to show up, bro. You have to show up all hands on deck because you will get exposed in this game. Chris Boyd, he's going to have to be better as well, man. So these are the offensive and the defensive keys
you
that we feel that Texas –
You got to force turnovers.
You definitely have to force turnovers, man. Have to force turnovers.
Kyler Murray is going to – he's going to be nervous in this game. Sam Ellinger's experienced this. Kyler Murray has not.
Yeah,
Kyler Murray has not experienced this game. He has not. And he's a little guy. A lot of times he's somewhat of a gunslinger. You have to make him stay in the pocket, and you have to force turnovers. It's really on defense. Tackle, force turnovers, don't get beat deep.
Let me ask you this. How big is the kicking game going to be kicking game, man, is going to be huge for Texas, man. We're going to have to be able to capitalize on field goals, man, when given opportunity, man.
Had a punt
block
yesterday against Kansas State.
Yes.
You missed a field goal. You can't leave points on the board. Quite frankly, if you're kicking field goals, you're not going to beat Oklahoma. It's not going to win. You're going to have to get in the end zone. But when you do kick field goals, Dicker's going to have to kick it in. And punts, you're going to have to punt better. Ohio State yesterday, gutsy win against Penn State. But in that first half, their punter had a Michael Dixon-like effort.
Yeah.
And that game could have gotten away from Ohio State if their punter hadn't done well. It goes without saying, but you need the punter and you need the kicker to play well. You basically have to be perfect because Oklahoma is the best team that you faced. But there are warts on Oklahoma, and there are things you can do. I would recommend maybe looking at what Army did, how they slowed them down. They had the ball the whole time. Kyler Murray only threw like 15 passes in that game. So if you keep them off the field, you got a chance. I also think this is a good matchup of coaches. Lincoln Riley's a damn good coach, but Tom Herman's a good in-game coach. So their rivalry's getting started. Right now, Lincoln Riley got the best of him because he had the Heisman quarterback. Herman had the beat-up team, and he also had the freshman quarterback. But right now, Lincoln Riley, an inexperienced yet talented quarterback, and Herman has a guy who's been there before. So I don't think Texas will get out coached in this game.
Well, I don't believe that Texas will get out coached in this game.
Wait, say that again.
I don't think that Texas will get out coached in this game. But because Tom Herman, you know, him being a coach here too, he understands the magnitude of this game. Him being an AD here back in the day under Mack Brown and everything like that. So I mean, he's a Texas guy, so he understands the magnitude of this game as well.
And he
knows that you know what this game means to each of these universities, man. But I mean, again, Texas played well last year. You know, Sam played well last year.
So he went to the 10, then game Shane and, came in. Yeah, it was a
But I mean, you know, this is second year, man. I think this team again has confidence. Going into this game, I believe that Texas.
You ain't gonna say Texas is back if they beat Oklahoma, are you?
I'm not gonna say Texas.
Okay, you're done with that.
I'm not gonna say Texas is back.
I'm just making
if
sure
they
you're
beat
done.
Oklahoma.
Right, I'm making
but
sure you're
bro,
done.
If they beat Oklahoma, bro, the respect that I'll have for Herman, the respect that I'll have for this coaching staff, the respect that I'll have for these players, if they come out there and they kick Oklahoma ass, bro, I will be the first to go on Twitter, man, and I will salute everyone, bro.
Can I make a bold prediction right now?
Make a bold prediction, man.
I think Brecken Hager has a couple sacks in this game. And I don't think it's necessarily because of stuff he does, but I think Kyler Murray is going to run into him. I think Kyler Murray is going to have a couple of sacks this game. Can't believe I'm saying this.
I think Kyler Murray is going to run into him. Whatever the Landry Locker is smoking right now, I want some of that because he's on some good right now, man. Whatever you smoking, bro, I want some of that. I want to party with you, dude, because you're on some good shit right now if you think that Brick is going to have two sacks against Kyler Murray, man.
I don't see that, bro.
Against a weak K-State team yesterday, man, yeah, he showed his ass the first game. He showed his ass all season. But against Oklahoma, bro, I don't see
it,
dog.
I think there's going to be times where he looks completely lost and out of place. But I really think that Kyler Murray is the kind of guy that Todd Orlando can fluster. I think that Todd Orlando, given a week plus to prepare for Kyler Murray, I think that Todd Orlando can fluster him. And I think Kyler Murray, a lot of times, he will try to get cute and he will run into Brecken Hager. I'm not sitting here saying Brecken Hager is going to take the world by storm.
If you would have said Gary Johnson or somebody like that, I'd be like, hey, absolutely, man. Absolutely. But Brick, until he shows me some of me, like I said, he had a decent game yesterday, man. Because it was some times yesterday going up the field. I'm watching him, man. He can't get off blocks, bro. Brecken Hager cannot get off freaking blocks, bro.
He engages blocks when it's not necessary.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
He wants to be blocked.
For some reason, bro.
It's like he thinks he's a sumo wrestler.
He want to lock up, bro.
He could go around the DN, but instead he goes inside into the block. It's like a Madden glitch.
We've called you out on this show, Brecken Hager, man, so I don't know if you listen to this show or if people tell you about it or whatever the case may be. Yes, we've been calling you out on the show. You had a good game yesterday. Locke believes in you, man. Hey, don't let my boy down. Don't let Locke down, man. I personally don't believe in you, bro. But Locke believe in you, man. So since that's my boy, don't let my boy down.
Don't let
Locke down, man. And Chris Boyd, I'm believing in you, bro. Don't let me the freak down, bro.
All right, we got that. So real quick, before we give our predictions for this game, the internet was going nuts yesterday with Jimbo Fisher. Grabbed the player's face mask. A lot of people outraged by it. I'm not one of these guys that treats college football like politics, where I blindly support my party regardless of what they're doing. And I'm talking about that on both ends,
right.
The far right and the far left. I feel like college football gets out of hand because there's too many fans that will support their coach even when he does wrong, or they'll bash another program when it's not a big deal just because they want to throw stones in their glass house. I think the Jimbo Fisher outrage was absolutely ridiculous. I don't think
Me too.
I don't think what he did was right. I think Jimbo Fisher will be the first to say he lost his cool and it wasn't right. But at the end of the day, he grabbed the young man's face mask because he was trying to teach him that in that situation, you can't lose your cool like that.
Yes.
His heart was in the right place. Yes. Jimbo Fisher's heart was in the right place. This isn't a Bob Knight situation where he's choking a kid or something like that.
Right.
He grabbed the kid's face mask and he shook it. Don't compare this to Bob Knight. Don't compare this to that Rutgers coach who's throwing stuff. He grabbed the kid's face mask, and to add to it, the kid came out afterwards and said he understood what was going on. So there's a lot of stuff to get outraged about with college programs. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that's disgusting. There's a lot of stuff going on in workouts and practices that's disgusting. Don't take something like this and make it into a big thing. I don't care if it's Texas A&M. I don't care what it is. It's not right to sit there and bash this.
The problem is, Locke, and I'm just going to say it, man.
You're going to go old school.
You might as well get ready to beat me, man.
You're going
to
go old school, bro.
Let me tell you something. When we was out there, bro, and we played ball, and of course, you know, I didn't play college ball or whatever, but even in high school, bro, we out there, bro, we getting cussed out, bro. We're getting cussed out, bro, and they didn't give a damn if your parents were in the stands or whatever the case may be, bro. They're going to – and then you know what they're going to do? They're going to break Bill, bro. They're going to get on your behind. They're going to, you know, tell you whatever they have to tell you, and then they're going to build you back up, man. If you have a child out there and you know, playing college football or whatever the case may be, and you feel like it's inappropriate for someone to grab their face mask, maybe it's not like he's grabbing his face mask and he's yanking it one way or the other or whatever. He grabbed him by the face mask, pulled him to him, told him what he had to tell him, and again, the kid understood, man. So, I mean, come on, man.
There's a lot of reasons to get mad, but don't sit there and try to rally some sort of mafia. The guy made a mistake. Jimbo will admit it. The kid had it wrong, but his heart's in the right place. He's trying to win games. He's trying to teach the kid. He'll be better for it. The kid will be better for it. Don't try to make more of it than needs to be. Now, with that said, there's a lot of extreme college football fans that there's a lot of Aggies that are defending that if Tom Herman did that, it would be a complete
absolutely. And that's what's wrong with college football.
That's really what's wrong with the world, and that's what's wrong with college football is there's too many people with agendas. There's too many people biased. There's too many people who sacrifice their morals, and they aren't consistent when it comes to what they think. I'm not like that. I'm gonna evaluate each program fairly. I want Texas to win, but at the end of the day, it's way overblown with this Jimbo Fisher thing. He'll admit he made a mistake, but let's not sit here and act like he's Bob freaking Knight or something. He also did himself a disservice because regardless of how you or I feel about it, there are people out there that will use that against him if A&M starts losing games. So Jimbo himself knows that he didn't do himself any favors doing that. All right, let's get our predictions for this game. The Red River Shootout. I haven't seen the betting line yet, but I'm assuming Oklahoma's going to be like a 10 or 11 point favorite. That's what I would, if I were handicapping the game, I would say 10 or 12 point favorite.
I would go, maybe 9.5 or so, somewhere, like, you know, in between there from
which is what they should be.
9.5 to 12 points. Yeah, I agree.
I could see that. We'll get out of here and we'll get our predictions real quick. We'll get our predictions. I'm going to say that this is a hard-fought game. I'm going to say Sam Ehlinger has a very good game. I think Todd Orlando is going to have a good game plan against Kyler Murray. I almost feel like I'm talking myself into something.
What you doing, Locke? What are you doing,
I'm
Locke?
Taking the horns. I'm taking the horns.
Oh, you just switched up.
I know Oklahoma's
the better
squad. Oh, you
just switched up, man. You're taking the
Oklahoma's
horns.
Oklahoma's the better squad. I'm taking the horns. I'm taking Texas to win this game.
See?
38-31. Texas Longhorns. Sam Ehlinger with the dub. Keontae Ingram with the breakout game. 3 turnovers forced by Kyler Murray. He looks lost. He's got 1 foot out the door. He wants to play baseball. He's showing up late to meetings. Texas Longhorns beat Oklahoma 38-31.
Man, I'll tell you what. That puts me in a position, man. That puts me in a position because you talked yourself into it. You know, somebody here got to stand on morals, got to stand on their own principles, stand on their freaking word, man. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I honestly, and I'm saying this, man, I really hope Texas comes out and I hope Texas wins this game. I'm pulling for Texas to win this game. I just don't think that Texas will win the game. My prediction to this game, man, I'm going to say 33-17 OU, man.
33-17.
Okay, OU,
so you
man.
Thought it was going to be close, and then you talked yourself into a bigger one.
I'm just looking at the offense, man, and Texas defense.
I've heard enough from you. Just tell them what you tell them all the time.
Man, y'all know what it is, man. Is your boy Landry Locker, your boy Derek Foreman, man, a.k.a. Dayday 409 on Twitter, man. This is the 41 Acres Podcast.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Subscribe on iTunes, man. We want to thank you guys again. We want to thank all of our listeners out there, man, everyone that's commenting and retweeting, man. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Let's keep making this the number one Texas Longhorn podcast out there. And as always, man, y'all know what it is. It's Texas love, and hook 'em always.